This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
I'll do my best. I have no idea where my co-host Scoop Stanton is. So this is Walter, and a good Saturday evening to everybody. It's November 13th, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, and another hour, whatever other freaking date timeline you're in. This is 7-5 Radio. I got caught off guard. I just spoke to Scoop a few minutes ago. He was ready to go. So he either didn't pay his cell phone bill or he's being mugged in D.C., one or the other. So good evening, folks. Hope everybody's having a nice weekend. It's a little chilly down here in Chattanooga. 32 degrees here in Chattanooga. It sucks. I hate it. I didn't move down here for this nonsense, but then again, I'm glad I'm not back in New York because they got all kinds of nonsense going on in New York. They just elected another Democrat mayor who happens to be an ex-captain in the NYPD. He was a spokesman for the Guardians, who is the African. The Guardians is the African American version of like the PBA, I guess, for all intents and purposes. If I went to the Guardians for help, they wouldn't lift a finger to help me. That's
besides. Hey, Walt, I'm here.
Yay.
Yeah, I done.
I was just talking about the Guardians up there, and I'm not talking about the Guardian Angels. So, right.
Were the Guardians.
I was just bringing up the fact that I'm glad I'm down here in Chattanooga, even though it's 32 degrees. I'm glad I'm not in New York, you know, going back into another crappy mayor.
Right. And we talked about this before.
Yeah.
But so. Anyways,
you go ahead and start the show, man.
Okay, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I was on the wrong line. I was on the listener line listening to Walter do what he does best. But anyways, we are red hot and rolling. We are live. It is Saturday, November the 13th, 2021. This is 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. All right, first order of business. As always, we want to remember members of the law enforcement community that were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we want to remember Police Officer Paramhas Desi of the Henry County, Georgia Police Department. End of watch, November 8th, 2021. Officer Desi's killer had committed suicide. Unfortunately, his killer should have committed suicide first, then continued to do what he's doing. Next, we want to remember Deputy Sheriff Lena Nicole Marshall of the Jackson County, Georgia Sheriff's Office. End of watch, November 8th, 2021. Her killer, fortunately, is no longer with us. He is shot and killed. Secondly, we want to remember and thank all members of the Department of Defense that served this once great nation for Veterans Day. This is the 13th of November, not the 11th, but we want to remember all those who have served this country, and we owe you a debt of gratitude. And every day should be Veterans Day, because unlike Colin Kaepernick, when I was at the military entrance processing station getting poked, prodded, measured, and making sure I was good for military service, I was looking at a starting contract of $18,000 a year. Well, how are we doing tonight, other than running a little bit late because I dialed the wrong number?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm just wondering how many dicks there are in the world.
A lot.
You had Dick Clark and Dick Butkus and Andy Dick and the guy that was probably right on the rear end of my limo that I'm in. I bet there was Tom, Dick, and Harry was in that limousine, was following my limousine. So there's a number of dicks in the world, you know. There's a lot of dicks in the world, you know. Richard Nixon, he was a dick, right? People called him dick, didn't they?
Yep. Dickie Smothers. Okay.
Joe, yeah.
Dickie Betts.
Joe Biden.
From the-
Joe Biden.
Well, his middle name is Robinette, I think.
Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama.
No, she has one.
Well, so I guess she qualifies to be one of those dicks out there in the world.
Right. Yes, she certainly is.
Mrs. Clark had a dick.
Yeah.
Right? Dick Clark, right?
Yep.
So, yep. Why can't Mrs. Obama have a dick?
We'll save it for Dean O'Ryan's show. That show is uncensored. But speaking of which, our buddy Jim Lanza, he was on the Thursday show of the Patrick Ryan show, and he just knocked it out of the park. He left no holds barred. But if you go to patrickryanshow.com, you can click on our buddy Jim Lancia interview with him. But anyways, well, I forgot to mention and say hello to Little Billy Keebler and the brave men and women of the Yondosis, New York Fire Department. They're known as the Cellar Savers. They do a great job saving the cellars that was once was the foundation of a two-story house. But anyways, why don't we get this show on the road before our first commercial break? In the news, Kyle Rittenhouse is on trial. Now, we said last year Kyle Rittenhouse was innocent. Well, what do you have for the Rittenhouse trial?
Well, you know, I've been watching watching it as best I can. I think I've got a pretty good gist of it. The prosecution team is just, you know, SOL. They put up witnesses and a victim who was a witness, and it pretty much settled the case for the defense. The video speaks for itself. All the video speaks for itself. It was kind of a stand your ground thing, and somebody, the first guy tried to grab his gun, you know, then he got hit in the back of the head with a skateboard, and then some guy pointed a Glock at him. So, you know, he did the right thing as far as, you know, the right side of the country is thinking. As far as any kind of illegalities, he may have been underage carrying that gun. He's alleged to cross state lines with it, even though, you know, he was there, but he didn't have possession of the gun when they crossed in from Illinois into Wisconsin. This prosecution really doesn't know which way to turn. I watched yesterday the now, if you lose me, I'm going up. My limo driver's taking me up the mountain. So on the backside of the commercial, we'll be back with more, I guess, right? Scoop.
Yep. All right. Walt is in the stretch, Kia. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. Check us out, 75radio.org, 75radio.org. We got Kyle Rittenhouse, school board meeting in 1971. All right. Take it away, boys.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
We are back. This is 7-5 Radio, Red Hot and Rolling on Saturday, November the 13th, 2021. Well, are you in the stretch Kia on the other side of the mountain? Ground control to Walter. All right, well, I guess we lost Walt. All right. He's still up in the mountains of the stretch Kia. A stretch Kia is approximately 6 feet long and holds five people. But anyways, back to Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse shot three people who attacked him. Do you know who Kyle Rittenhouse did not shoot at? Everybody who left him alone. Now, I wish I could say that the district attorney's office was throwing the case on purpose, but the soy boy DA is going full throttle against Rittenhouse, and he's losing. And luckily, the judge is on our side in not letting this foolish district attorney pull all these stupid things. So, anyways, this judge, I forgot his name, he does not pull up any Bravo Sierra, unlike Lance Ito during the OJ trial. But hopefully, the jury won't be swayed like they were in Minneapolis and vote to convict Kyle Rittenhouse so Kenosha, Wisconsin wouldn't burn again. The mayor of Kenosha, correction, the governor of Wisconsin already activated the National Guard to go into Kenosha if the verdict does not go in the favor of the savages. Now, you're going to see a lot of people coming from out of town because Kenosha is a small town near the Wisconsin-Illinois border. You're going to have all the street garbage come into town and burn it down like Ferguson, but let's hope it does not burn down. Let's hope Mr. Rittenhouse walks away a free man. Well, you still with us, or are you still in the mountains? Anyways, moving right along, this Thursday, which was Veterans Day, I attended a school board meeting in Fairfax County, Virginia, and boy, we are in bigger trouble than I thought. For the first 90 minutes, the school board praised these two former school board members and named some dressing rooms at one high school and a gym at another high school after these two people who were involved in the theater and PE program at their respective high schools. And you thought these people were being appointed Pope or something. Just 90 minutes of just sucking up these their coworkers or their colleagues saying, Ms. Jones, you're so great. I was glad to work with you, glad to support you. Glad to nominate you or vote for you for ordaining the dress rooms after your old ass. And same thing with the gym teacher. He was a immigrant from Korea. He was a basketball coach, and he stood about 5 feet tall. And I don't know how he became the basketball coach, but Thomas Jefferson is a school for gifted kids. So anyways, they said, oh, you're the first Asian American to hold the office and this, that, and everything. It just made me want to vomit. So after 90 minutes of just kissing these people's tuckus, and every school board member had something nice to say about each of them, and gave them flowers or autographed basketball with signed by other school board members or other school employees, they still stood up and had to take pictures. And meanwhile, the audience, i.e. parents, they got a grand total of 2 minutes to talk, which they called you up. You got to go to the front, say your business for 2 minutes. If you went over 2 minutes, the microphone cut off and you're done. And anyways, hey, how's the reception?
My limo driver took the backside up the mountain, not the backside up me, the backside up the mountain.
Anyways, I talked about Kyle Rittenhouse. You got any thoughts about Rittenhouse before we talk about the school board meeting I attended?
Just a couple of things, with not just Rittenhouse, but something else that I wanted to bring up because it's along the lines. Anyway, Rittenhouse, you know, if anything, you know, he might face a misdemeanor charge. The prosecution was really pulling strings, trying to pull strings off rabbits out of a hat or whatever they call it. The prosecution was trying to do that yesterday to the judge, and they were bringing up, you know, hunting permits and stuff like that, and trying to make it look like he was hunting humans, and, you know, but anyway, you know, all those left-handed libs, you know, they just called him all kinds of things last year, and, you know, racist, white supremacist by our now leader of the free world, and, you know, it's just a horrible thing. One thing I wanted to touch on, though, there's this kid, and I'm not going to mention his name. He's been in the New York State prison for 27 years. He was 13 when he murdered his fellow students in a New York classroom. He was sentenced to 25 to life. Now, I get it. People are pissed because, you know, he killed, you know, other kids and such. But nobody jumped up and screamed thinking, hey, he's 13. He's going to be out in 25 years. Well, 27. But now they're jumping up and down and screaming, thinking he should die and he should go to the electric chair. Now, you know, you people are all safe and sound when they send people away, but when they let us out, you know, it's a different song. So either write to your congressman or shut the front door. You don't know what you're talking about. My thing. Just go ahead. All right. We're moving on.
All right. Now, back to the school board meeting at Fairfax County, Virginia. So anyways, the parents were able to come up and speak. Now, before you can come up to speak, you had to go put your name on a list, and they drew it. It was all by lottery, and I was alternate talker number 3. And these parents came up, and they were pissed. It's the same old, same old. Pornographic books in schools, LGBT indoctrination, gender indoctrination, you know, let the boys be girls and let the boys play basketball and beat or girl sports and beat the hell out of the girls, and so on and so forth. Now, I'd say it was about 3-1, 3 conservative normal people versus 1 kook. This one lady who came up and said she was raped at 5 years old was screaming, excuse me, for the LGBTQ community and the queer rights, this and other thing. But yours truly got to go up and speak. And that was a little bit different. And I came up, I looked you know, very overweight and winded. And I had to wear a mask, so it sounded like I had a you-know-what in my mouth. But anyways, I told the school board, I said, you know what, hold the line. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep the pornographic books in the schools. Let the boys dress up as girls. Treat the parents like garbage. Call the parents domestic terrorism. Why? because I host a syndicated radio show, and you are giving me lots and lots of material. So anyways, as I'm talking to these people, and they just had a look of disgust, like I'm wasting their time. Well, guess what? They wasted my time talking 90 minutes about these two people who no longer work for the school system anymore. And it's just, overall, it was just a very disheartening thing to see the state of our schools, which means, folks, you need to get involved more and more. Don't just sit there watch Fox News. Don't just listen to us. Be like me. Go to the school board meeting and raise holy hell. So, anyways, with that, I did speak to lots of other parents who are very, also very upset. And also, I was there before. I was the only media there, except for Washington Examiner, and the only radio personality. 7.5 Radio got there before Cumulus's WMAL in their marked vehicle, and they didn't stay. So, again, this proves that we're always ahead of mainstream media. Cumulus is a multi-billion dollar company, and they can't get their people to a school board meeting on time, whereas Liberty News Radio spoke at the school board meeting and currently reporting on the school board meeting. And eventually, either tonight or probably tomorrow, I'm going to post the school board meeting. And 2 hours and 18 minutes, you finally get to see yours truly. Well, anyways, we'll be right back talking about the...
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. A federal appeals court has upheld its stay on President Biden's vaccine or test mandate for companies with at least 100 employees. In a 22-page ruling on Friday, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the mandate was fatally flawed and barred OSHA from enforcing the mandate pending adequate judicial review of a motion for permanent injunction. Medicare premiums are on the rise. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
Going up, Medicare premiums are. The federal government making a Friday night announcement that Medicare Part B premiums are going to rise over 14% starting next year, boosting monthly payments for those in the lowest income bracket from about $148 a month to about $170 a month.
This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day, man. This is John Jubilee with EnergizedHealth.com. That's right. Write that down after you get off of this ad. EnergizedHealth.com. Because this is your moment to change your life. Intelligent men are skeptical. I want you to be skeptical, but I want you to go check this out today. We have a breakthrough science that is so powerful that hundreds of doctors have changed their life. They recommend it to their patients, physicians to U.S. presidents, leading scientists across the world, because it works. Intercellular hydration pushes all the toxins out of your body. It pushes all inflammation out of your body. Can cause your brain to have double the function, men, double. Your testosterone level could rise 500 points naturally. You can wake up every morning like a teenage boy again and lose 30 to 40 pounds of solid fat every month. Be skeptical, but go check this out today at EnergizedHealth.com. That's EnergizedHealth.com.
Mark Levin joined Hannity on Fox discussing how the media smeared Kyle Rittenhouse in his trial and ignored key facts. He said they have no intention of seeking to be objective.
The issue is whether this Kyle Rittenhouse, this young man, had a right to defend himself. And the answer is absolutely yes. It's not that the prosecution was incompetent. They were politically motivated.
He said the media in this country is helping to fuel riots and it's helping to fuel hate in this country. Former Trump administration advisor Steve Bannon was indicted Friday by a federal grand jury on two counts of contempt of Congress after he didn't comply with a subpoena to appear in front of the House January 6th panel. Bannon, 67, was charged with one contempt count involving his refusal to appear for a deposition and another that involved his refusal to hand over documents to the committee. This is USA Radio News.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerke. Sounds like Walter Yerke is doing some work in the kitchen. There's a whole bunch of noise in the background.
Yes. The limo refrigerator was empty.
Oh. Anyways, this next segment we call When the Children Are in Charge. Talk about the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. Now, we all know America is experiencing a logistics crisis from the ports, the warehouses, to the stores and our front doors. Nothing's being moved. We have nothing moving, and truckers are paying through the nose for diesel fuel to move the goods and services. Inflation is beating the hell out of us, and now the government has Pete Buttigieg as the Secretary of Transportation. Now, for the past couple of months, Peter Buttigieg was at home on parental leave, as he and his husband adopted two newborn children. Now, mind you, the other Mr. Buttigieg does not work. He's a, I guess, stay-at-home father, while the other dad goes out and makes about $250,000, $300,000 per year. But anyways, as Mr. Buttigieg and Mr. Buttigieg were taking care of the children, ships were still not being offloaded, and trucks were not moving on the highway. But now this big multi-trillion dollar infrastructure deal was passed, and instead of addressing the problem of logistics, transportation, moving goods across our interstates into our homes, we just start talking about Robert Moses and the old stories that Moses designed parkways in Queens, Long Island, so that buses could not go to the Long Island beaches and black and Puerto Rican kids were stuck in the city because their parents were too poor to own cars. Now, along with the logistics nightmare that's going on with the goods and out at sea and in our factories and warehouses, our roads and bridges are still crowded and still fall apart. DC traffic is still a mess, and we can't get products from point A to point B. But anyways, Secretary Buttigieg is talking about racist roads in a state he never lived in from 60, 70, 80 years ago. Who knows? Now, I don't know if Robert Moses did design the parkways and the roads in Long Island so buses couldn't travel to keep black kids out. That's been the story for, God almighty, for years. But Robert Moses should be given credit for all the work he was able to accomplish in the five boroughs and the surrounding areas, because, I mean, it takes an act of God to get something done in the city. And he was able to get lots of things done. He built the Triborough Bridge, which connected three boroughs together. He built the Cross Bronx Expressway. He built housing projects. He built playgrounds. He did a lot of work for the people of New York. Now, granted, a lot of these bombed out crappy neighborhoods were demolished to make room for these highways. But again, you know, that's progress, because people were buying cars, and cars need to move from point A to point B, and trucks need to move from point A to point B. But, you know, I'd rather have Robert Moses as the Secretary of Transportation than Pete Buttigieg. He's talking about something that happened 60, 70 years ago, but not the problem that at the front door is like, hey, we don't have any goods buy food, we can't buy building products, we can't feed our families or grow our business or build things. What say you about Peter Buttigieg and Robert Moses?
Well, Mr. Moses, like you said, you know, he was part of the plan since, you know, during the Eisenhower years and the Kennedy years and the Johnson years, to build infrastructure as far as, like you said, the Triborough Bridge, the Cross Bronx. He's responsible for the Robert Moses Causeway out in Suffolk County. And, you know, he connected so many places that took hours to get to that now only takes minutes. And he did, he did a fine job. He spread it out and he put the designed it where it needed to be. And it's worked out for the last 60 years plus. And you got people on the left would say, well, that Robert Moses, he built that bridge right over there by Gilgo Beach, and that's probably how the Long Island serial killer is getting to Gilgo Beach. So, you know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. But then again, you know, I'm going to say minorities. The minorities from that part of Long Island were able to get to the beach on the south shore of Long Island. You know, Gilgo Beach, yeah, Oak Beach, Captree. You know, all those beaches on that side of Long Island that weren't accessible to them. The same thing, with, like you said, the Triborough Bridge across Bronx Expressway. You know, those are fortune money makers for New York City, the Triborough Bridge. It's ridiculous how much money you got to now. You know, Mr. Moses is rolling over in his grave. But as far as Buttigieg goes, you know, there's only one route that he knows, and I'm not going to get into that.
It's a certain highway.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not getting into that at all.
Right. It's like a, go ahead.
The people get it. You know, the people know what's wrong. But a lot of these people think that Biden is the answer because he was up there the other day. I think right after he pooped his pants, he had a brain fart. And, you know, he's saying, you know, replacing, no, as a matter of fact, it wasn't him. I think it was the chameleon that he's got that as a sidekick. She was talking about changing, you know, the underground water supply lines and stuff like that so people can get fresh drinking water. Well, tell that to the people in Flint, Michigan.
Right.
But, you know, that happened during her Soul Brothers career for 8 years. You know, it's just horrible. You know, the infrastructure needs to be done. It has been needed to be worked on little by little. But this money that was just passed, it's going into their pockets. It ain't going into infrastructure. My eye. You'll see some potholes fixed. You know, parkway weeds are going to be cut down a little bit. But other than that, I don't see it in my lifetime.
Right. And, you know, let's look at Robert Moses versus Pete Buttigieg. You know, Robert Moses built, like, all those great things in New York City, keep New York City moving. I mean, we got the Hunts Point Terminal Market, which is right off the Cross Bronx Expressway. So you got all these trucks coming in from the George Washington Bridge and down from the Tamsie Bridge, down to Major Deegan, out to the Terminal Market at Hunts Point. So, but if you look at Pete Buttigieg, he was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which is a blank hole. And as Secretary of Transportation, well, he was home taking care of two newborn kids that him and his husband are taking care of. So he has a failed presidential run that nobody voted for him. But since I guess since he can check off the LGBTQ plus category, he's now Secretary of Transportation. And also, here's another thing about Pete Buttigieg. He lives in Eastern Market in the District of Columbia. At one time, it was just an absolute ghetto, crap hole. But through gentrification, you know, a lot of money is going in there. And, of course, Mayor Pete or Secretary Buttigieg lives with other rich white people. So way to go, Mayor. Mayor Pete. I refuse to call him Secretary because he can't. I mean, this is what you get. You had... You know, you get people like Pete Buttigieg. He fits a category. He fits a classification. All right, we got a couple of women. We got a couple minorities. Now we got a gay guy. All right, we're the most. We got a tranny as the running the health department commission corps as an admiral. You know, not even serving one day as a ensign in the commission corps. But that's the Biden administration for you. And speaking of the Biden administration, real quick, the FBI goes after Project Veritas. Project Veritas is a news organization, independent news agency that goes after everyone, uses hidden cameras, uses undercover reporters to get the story. So anyways, they had somebody come up to them and give them allegedly first daughter Ashley Biden's diary, which is very salacious about the Biden family. But Project Veritas could not verify that it was Ashley Biden's, and couldn't verify that it got into their hands legally. So not only did Project Veritas not run the story, they want the authorities to give it back to Ms. Biden. So what happens? Merrick Garland's FBI comes after Project Veritas, raids the homes of reporters, raids the apartment of founder and CEO James O'Keefe. They take his phone, and they're going through his phone looking at all sorts of personal information, including who his donors are and upcoming stories. But that's the FBI of today. But anyways, coming back, we're going to talk about 1971, possibly the best year in music, and I got some of the best albums ever made. Stay tuned, everybody. This is Sci-Fi Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Now, Walt and I share birthdays less than a week apart. I guess, it's cold in February, so our parents didn't, what they do naturally when it's nice and cold and keep each other warm. But anyways, also the same time of Walt and I's entrance into this world, one of the greatest albums was made that same week and released in 1971. But anyway, 71 was a hell of a year. You had the Vietnam War, Richard Nixon, The French Connection, Dirty Harry, All in the Family, Jim Morrison, and Barry Oakley from the Allman Brothers passed away. But anyways, it was one of the most iconic years for music. I mean, you had 67 with the Doors first album. You had 68 with the Rolling Stones' Beggar's Banquet album. 69 with the first album from Led Zeppelin, Soft Parade by the Doors, Let It Bleed by the Rolling Stones. But then you have 1971, and I want to go over the best five albums from 1971. And believe me, it took me some time to go through these because it was very, very hard. All right, the number five album for 1971 is Sticky Fingers by the Rolling Stones. After they released their Satanic Majesty's Request, Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, the live album called Get Your Ya-Ya's Out, they came out with Sticky Fingers. Some of the tracks on the song include Can't You Hear Me Knockin', Sway, Wild Horses, and Moonlight Mile. Number four is the Yes album by Yes. The song Starship Trooper is used on this show. But anyways, this is the best album that they made. Besides Starship Trooper, you have Yours, No Disgrace, I've Seen All Good People, Perpetual Change. So that's the best album from Yes. And Yes released another album that year called Fragile, which is also a very good album. Number three is the Who's Next. This is the best Who album next to Tommy. It's hard for me to decide which album is better, Tommy or Who's Next. This album includes Bob O'Reilly, Won't Get Fooled Again, Love Ain't For Keeping, and Behind Blue Eyes. Moving to number two is L.A. Woman by The Doors. It's The Doors' final album with Jim Morrison. And this album, besides having L.A. Woman and Riders on the Storm, which also is played on this show, it has some great gems such as La America and Hyacinth House. And so anyways, when these bands back in the day got together to record an album, they recorded a whole album. They want the whole album to be good, not just one song and a bunch of garbage. But anyway, some honorable mentions include Live at the Fillmore East by the Allman Brothers Band, Fragile by Yes, like I mentioned before, Janis Joplin's Pearl, which is her last album before she passed, Pink Floyd's Metal, Chicago's Three by Chicago, Traffic's Low Spark of High Heel Boys, Jethro Tull's Aqualung, and Deep Purple's Fireball. But anyways, the number one album for 1971, released on November 8th, 1971, is Led Zeppelin's fourth album. And now this album has no mention of the band on the front, let alone words of the band and name of the album. And the official album name is the four symbols that the band members took while recording this album, but every song is a masterpiece. And it just, besides Stairway to Heaven, it has, in Black Dog, it has The Battle Evermore, Four Sticks, Misty Mountain Hop, and When the Levee Breaks. I mean, just the perfect album. There's not a bad song anywhere.
Wasn't Led Zeppelin IV made refamous, I guess is my new word, refamous. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, when the guys are trying to get laid, just play, you know, side two of Led Zeppelin IV.
Right, but he played Physical Graffiti because the song was Cashmere. So the kid messed up. He played Physical Graffiti, which is also a great album, but Led Zeppelin IV is the best album that the band ever made, and I think it's one of the best albums ever. Now, you know, people say I'm stuck with the 70s. Even though I grew up in the 80s and I got long hair and sideburns and, you know, I still listen to these albums. And just, I mean, these albums are 50 years old and they still get played on the radio, even though the radio is going in the ash heap of history.
What did your wife?
Right to hell.
What does Mrs. Scoop listen to?
She listens to light, easy hits from the 80s, 90s, and today. You know, she
Bangles
listens to the light
stuff
up.
Like
she
that.
Used to listen to country. She listened to country back in the day in the 90s when Garth Brooks was like the second coming of Christ. But now she listens to, she also listens to 80 music on the satellite, and she listens to, music from the 80s, 90s, and today on Light FM,
Bangles,
which is available everywhere.
99 Red Balloons.
Yeah.
The Knack. Did she listen to The Knack?
Knack came out in 79.
My Sharona.
Yeah, she probably listened to that because, I mean, it's pop music. It came out in the late 70s. Well, I keep telling her, should I go to my old hometown of Utica, New York, because they're stuck in the 80s. I mean, today,
is that,
still.
Is that where she's from, Utica?
No, she's from here.
Is that where she's from? Oh.
Okay. No, my parents live up that way, but it's near Yarandasa, New York. But if you go up there today, people still listen to music from the 80s. It's the women still got the big poofy hair. Vanilla Ice is still looked at, seen as a god, even though his album came out in 1990. And, you know, they're still wearing MC Hammer pants and driving Mustang GTs today. it's a place that land time forgot. But anyways, you got any comments about the best albums of 1971?
No.
No? You listen? If you go on 75radio.org, you can actually upload the albums from YouTube, and you can actually listen to the whole album commercial-free. But, again, we got two songs off these tracks are actually used on for our bumpers because, we don't put crap bumpers on, unlike the cesspool. But you got any other questions, comments, or concerns? What do you think of the best year of music was?
You know, I'd have to go with something in the late 70s, but non-disco, you know what I mean? You know, like
right.
We just talked about, you know, the Knack, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Queen, Pat Benatar, you know, Frank Sinatra was still putting records out. You know, I'm pretty wide open cultural when it comes to music from the 70s. You know, rap didn't really exist yet. You know, and I do like country music, but like before 1975, because the stuff they sing about now, you know, there's a bus going down the highway with a rabbi and a hooker and a priest. It sounds like, you know, sitting in a bar in the late 70s, you know, these three people walk into a bar and they're singing about it on a bus, you know, or
right.
You know, country's not famous. The country star didn't get famous because his smoke detector in his trailer didn't work. You know, they sing about the dumb stuff like that these days.
Right.
You know, what was it, last night or night before last? They had the Country Music Awards over up there in Nashville, not too far from here. I mean, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I can't make sense out of the new music that, you know, the new country that they sing.
Right.
You know, give me Patsy Cline, you know, Hank Williams, you know, give me that era of music, you know, 50s, 60s, you know, maybe 70s. You know, you had Charlie Pride was a black singer, a country singer. You know, those songs made sense, you know. These days, you know, they talk about smoke detectors that don't work in the trailer park, you know, and it just doesn't jive with, I can't keep up. It's like rap artists, you know, singing about the ghetto. I just don't get it. You know, again, you know, the smoke detectors didn't work in the slums. I don't know.
Right. How many times you going to hear about, some dude in the ghetto, he's the shot caller on the block because he's shot a bunch of other black dudes on the ground or, every woman is a B-word or a hoe.
I know what I wanted to say before we sign off tonight.
Okay.
And this is just changing gears, going back to the beginning of our show with the Rittenhouse trial. LeBron X, he put out, you know, crocodile tears and stuff like that about him, about Rittenhouse's, you know, emotional output that he had the other day while he was talking about, you know, killing these guys. And then they showed pictures of LeBron, you know, like maybe, you know, twisting his big toe, being carried off the court, you know, with his mouth wide open, screaming and, you know, shedding tears. You know, I don't know what the guy wants to be. Does he want to be? I think he wants to be a politician when he gets out of basketball. God help us.
Right. Right. All right, well, that's all the time we got today. We had to squeeze a whole bunch of stuff in a short period of time. But anyways, for Walter Yerke, this is Peter Scoop Stanton reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody. And listen to more music from 1971. Take it away, boys.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.